Welcome to the Bod Pod, the podcast for every body. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Brianna Morgan, and this is the podcast to listen to for all things related to body image, self-love, and confidence. Each week, we'll welcome old and new friends, hear their stories, chat about our bodies, laugh, cry, and most importantly, get more people feeling confident in their bodies. This is the Bod Pod. Growing up in Los Angeles as an aspiring model, Hunter McGrady has made history as the first plus-size woman to appear on the cover of a bridal magazine, as the curviest model to appear in Sports Illustrated, as their 2018 Rookie of the Year, and one of the first curve models to walk New York Fashion Week runways in September of 2017. Now she's on a mission to change the world and inspire others on her journey of self-love. Recently, launching her own clothing line, All Worthy, on QVC, that is fully size inclusive from extra extra small to 5X. Hunter spoke at our inaugural BodCon and has been such an amazing champion of this space. I'm so thrilled to be able to sit down with her one-on-one and chat about all the amazing things that she's been up to. Welcome to the Bod Pod, Hunter.
Hi, I'm so excited to be on. Oh my gosh, this is so awesome.
Oh, well, the excitement is all mine. And in our pre-recording, we were chatting a little bit about all of the amazing stuff that you've had going on in 2021. But one of those major announcements is that you're pregnant.
I am. Yes, I am pregnant. Gosh, I'm nearing my third trimester, which is so weird. It went by so fast. At the beginning, I was like, come on, hurry up. Like, I want to be like, you know, I was like, I want to be like well into this thing. And now I'm like, whoa, it went by so fast. So very, very excited. We're having a little baby boy.
That's so exciting. Now, you have a stepdaughter, so you're going to have a daughter and a son now. That is so exciting. Yes.
I know. And she's so excited. Like every time I talk to her, she's like, how big is the baby now? Cause I have like a tracker where it says like, you know, baby's the size of like a corn husk or Winnebago or whatever it is. And so I always tell her, you know, how big the baby is. And she's so thrilled.
That's so exciting. And I always get so confused by those size trackers because I feel like they just pull the most ridiculous things. They're like, your baby is the size of a mini papaya tree.
I know.
I don't know what size that is.
This week was a rutabaga, and I was like, what is a rutabaga? I literally had to look it up and be like, I don't even know what that is. Like, I just like what it looks like. I'm like, okay, got it, sure.
You're like, honey, take me to Whole Foods. We need to go measure some rutabagas.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like when you're pregnant, you're allowed to make these demands. So it's...
It's like the one time, you know, in your life where it's like, you know, I'll wake my husband up at like 1 a.m. and be like, babe, I'm so hungry. Can you go make me something? Like, that's the time I can get away with it. Or he has to go downstairs and make me something. Or, you know, I'll be like, my, you know, water will be like right next to him. I'll be like, can you grab it for me? You know what I mean? It's like, I'm really leaning into it.
I think you have to. I think anybody who doesn't lean into it is just really missing an opportunity. Because I feel like as soon as that baby comes, mom duty is 24/7, 365, right?
Yep. Exactly. So the 9 months leading up, or actually 10 months, it's you do for me.
Oh, absolutely. Now, have you had any of those like crazy classic pregnancy cravings?
So at the very beginning, it was so funny. I mean, I was super, super sick and nauseous. And the only thing that I could really keep down was black beans. Like literally for some reason, like I could eat black beans out of a can and I was just like, oh, this is so good. Like it was just so
like no seasoning. Honestly, just straight up like, black beans.
Just black bean. And I would get like a black bean and cheese burrito. And like that was like literally what I ate every single day. And then randomly I wouldn't eat any sweets, which is so rare for me. Cause like, I'm so the person that's like, okay, we had dinner. Now I want a dessert. Like I want something sweet. I have to have it. I didn't eat any sweets until recently. And then recently I was randomly craving icing, like straight out of the.
Like a Duncan Hines, like.
Yeah, straight out of the container. I was like sitting there, literally eating vanilla icing. And you know what? Sometimes it just strikes. I mean, I've had the pickle craving, which was like pretty like, you know, cliche. It's weird. It's like some things are like, I'm like repulsed by, and then some things I'm like, oh my God, I have to have it now.
I find it so funny when I hear women who have been pregnant and they get cravings for things that they would never normally touch, right? Like things where they would never eat black beans out of a can, but here we are.
Yeah. Here we are. And it's like, it's weird because it's like a sensation where it's like, you have to have that. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, if I don't have this, I will cry. I'm like, excuse me. I'm just like, I think about it all day, all night. Like if there's like a specific burger I want or something, I'm like, I need to do whatever I have to do to get it.
Just keep like a little stash in your like nightside table.
Like I literally have
crackers right here. To anybody not able to see this podcast, Hunter McGrady has brought what looks like a sleeve of Ritz crackers to the recording.
And I have a sleeve next to my bedside along with pistachios. I mean, shoot, if I could, I would have a whole sandwich next to me. I wake up at like 3 a.m. and I'm like, oh my God, I want a turkey sub so bad.
If we ever get to record an episode in person, I'll bring you a sandwich, okay?
Oh my God, bless you. Amazing.
You know what? There's something to be said for a really, really well-made sandwich.
Oh, it's game changing, especially on like a hot summer day, right? Like you're just like, oh, that's all I want. Yeah.
Well, I want that for you. And like we discussed, like now is your time. You only have what, 3 more months?
Yeah.
So, you know, milk it while you can.
I'm milking it. And I think my husband's like, you're milking it.
And you're like, Brian, I'm going to have to push a watermelon out. Let me have
exactly.
this.
Let me have this. Yes, exactly.
Well, so that funny. Is super exciting news. And thank you for sharing that with us. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, bodies changing, because obviously that's a huge, huge conversation for anyone who's pregnant, but especially mm-hmm. for a supermodel. What has that experience been like with, you know, obviously moving from, you know, your body changing so much, especially over a short period of time?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's, I think the weirdest thing for me was being plus size and pregnant, right? Like I don't ever really see anywhere in media, like plus size pregnant women. And when you like type in on Google pregnancy, they're always like this, it's like this perfect little ball stomach and, you know, women are like small everywhere else. And so at the beginning of this, I was like desperately searching. I was like, I just need some kind of like, it just felt really weird to me. Like I had some friends who were plus size and pregnant, and I kind of went back to their Instagrams and their highlights and was kind of like, okay, I feel a little more seen here. But it is interesting, you know, your body changes in such a unique way, you know, and I think what's the most interesting about it is how you think about your body, right? Like all of a sudden you don't care. Like, at least for me, like I was like, I don't care if my body changes. I don't care if I have to, you know, throw up every day as long as the baby is happy. Like all of a sudden, almost overnight, it was like my mind shifted to as long as he's okay. You know, and I really have learned to like honor my body in a very different way and like, you know, really take care of it and nourish it in a way that I haven't before. I mean, I always have, you know, taken care of myself, but just really like listening to it. When I need to rest, I rest. I don't push it. If I feel stressed, I really take a moment out because I know it's not just affecting me anymore. And, you know, a lot has changed, you know, I definitely have, you know, my belly now and, you know, your boobs grow bigger and your nipples get darker and things change. And, you know, my skin at the very beginning of it was so bad. I felt like I was back in high school. I was like, oh my gosh. Cause you know, everyone talks about like glowing pregnancy. They're like, oh my gosh, like you're going to glow. It's amazing. And I was like, okay, well, when?
Still waiting.
Yeah, because your girl's got cystic acne, you know, but it's been a really eye-opening and amazing experience. It's really almost hard to explain the kinds of changes that happen.
It's so interesting that, you know, you talk a little bit about media representation, because you're right. When you think of, you know, like celebrity pregnancies or kind of the pregnancies that we see in movies, like What to Expect When You're Expecting, it's the... Yeah. It's the like size 2 actress who has this like little beach ball bump and right. you know, she gets the like cute little pickle cravings and she's eating the pickle right. from the jar, right? Like, right. And I know on your social media, you've been super open about having, you know, trouble keeping food down and having those tricky days in your pregnancy, which is, you know, so refreshing to see.
Yeah. And, you know, that was another thing, you know, I was like searching forums when like, you know, the first trimester I was so nauseous and I was really nervous and anxious and, you know, it's a very bizarre feeling. And I just, you know, everything online that I was finding was like, oh, just enjoy it. Like really just like lean in on it or whatever. And I was like, well, yeah, but then also like, where's the reality of this? Like we have to be real and honest with it that like, you know, I'm down and out. Like my head's in a toilet for half the day.
Yeah. It's hard to enjoy
the entire
that.
Day. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And like,
I'm not having a good time here.
Right. And like not eating and like, but like having to eat because it's no longer just for you. And, you know, so it's like that media representation, I think, also needs to really change when it comes to pregnancy, because I think a lot of times women feel alone because they're like, yeah, I know, I felt the same way. I felt like I was searching for these symptoms that I was feeling and nothing came up. You know, and then when I posted about it, everyone in my DMs was like, oh my God, same, you know, and it's like, oh, well, okay. So we're all really in this thing together.
It's so interesting. And I mean, that's the power of social media, obviously, right? You really quickly realize that you're not alone. And chances are there's somebody out there in the world who is experiencing what you're currently experiencing or who has. And I think the crazy thing with pregnancy I've never been pregnant, but for girlfriends who have had multiple kids, especially, they'll say that their pregnancies were all vastly different.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly it. You know, I posted something the other day and I said something about being tired, and I had this DM of this girl being like, well, you're pregnant, LOL. Like was like, haha, you're pregnant. You're creating a human. Everyone is tired. And I was like, well, actually not everyone is. One of my best friends who had a kid, it was like, I never got tired. I had energy throughout. And I'm like, so, you know, never assume that someone's pregnancy is going to be the same as everybody else's just because it's what you've heard, you know? And I was like, huh, it's actually not true, you know? So I think it's important that we really honor each individual unique experience and, you know, can just really be there for one another. It's a wild emotional roller coaster, but it's beautiful.
Except for when your head's in the toilet. Except you're allowed to not like those moments, I think.
Yes. And I'm like, cry. It's like, I can't be like one of those people. Like, I'm like, it's so dramatic. Like, I'm crying. My face is red. I like snot coming out of my nose. It's just like so dramatic. So it's really a sight.
Hey, I'm the same way. And I'm such a crier. Like I cry all the time. I watched Seaspiracy last night and I cried through the whole thing. And my boyfriend's just used to it.
Yeah, same. My husband will literally, he'll know if there's like, you know, like a Lucky Charms commercial that maybe has a sentimental moment. He'll like look over at me and be like waiting for it to come on. And I'm like, I'm just a sensitive little Sally.
Sensitive little Sally. Well, I think it's so, so interesting that, you know, again, everybody's body changes and everyone's going through, you know, these different stages of pregnancy, but obviously you're still modeling and you're still doing things. And like, how are you finding that balance?
You know, it's interesting. It's kind of difficult. Like, you know, I'm also just so tired now. I was talking to my sister this morning. I'm like, dude, I literally do like three things. And then like by 3 p.m., I'm like, all right, I'm calling it. This is my nap time. Don't contact me. So it's like, you know, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, I'm still doing modeling stuff. I have a clothing line. I have a podcast. I am a host of a show with Yahoo. Like I'm doing all these things and, you know, it is hard to fit it all in. And I can imagine it's going to be even harder when he comes. But, you know, I've really had to learn how to set boundaries and just say, you know what, like, today is not the day for this. Like, I'm going to have to reschedule. And I think that that is super important. I'm terrible at that. And so for me, I've been like trying to flex that muscle a little bit because, you know, my husband, my mom, my sister, they're all like, you're going to have to do it. You know, no is a complete sentence. So don't feel bad for it. So I think that's been the biggest learning lesson as far as my like career goes and balancing it.
I think the no being a complete sentence is such a game changer for so many of us. Because I think as women especially, our gut instinct is to please and to make other people feel comfortable, right? And like you said, like you're literally cooking another human inside you, right? Like it's not it's just like,
job.
That is a full-time job. And you're not just taking care of Hunter anymore. You're taking care of Hunter and baby, right?
Right. Yeah, it's really wild. I'm learning to get better at it, but I am so one of those people that will just say yes to everything. And then by the end of the day, I'm like laid out. I'm like resentful. You know, and I'm like, oh my God, like I resent everybody. And it's like, okay, well, you put it on yourself, you know? And so I'm getting better at it for sure.
Well, getting better at it, but also still, you know, still killing it. However many months pregnant you are now, one of those brand new exciting things is you're getting ready to launch a podcast of your very own.
Yes, I'm so excited. My sister and I, we have launched the Model Citizen podcast, and it's in collaboration with Dear Media, which is amazing. And we're so lucky to have a partner like them. Basically, it's like, you know, my sister and I, we, you know, would do lives, you know, on Instagram, and a bunch of people would be like, oh my God, don't end this. Like, I feel like I'm hanging out with friends or like with, you know, I don't have a sister. And I felt like I was hanging out with my sister. And we were like, why don't we bring this to like a longer format and like an easy listen, something you can put on your background. You know, I listen to a podcast when I do my makeup or when I'm cooking or even in the shower, I have a little speaker in there, you know? And I just think we were like, we want to be your guys' big sisters or little sisters, whatever it is. Like, we want to be your friends. Like, we want this to be a place where you can come, you can laugh, you can cry, you can, you know, experience with us. And so it's a little bit of everything. We've got, you know, it's kind of like you're a fly on the wall in our FaceTimes. And it's really, really awesome. We're so excited for it, this new venture.
It's such an exciting time, I think, for podcasts in general, because I think more people are listening to them. And it's so fun that you get to share that experience with your sister.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm such a podcast fiend. Like, I listen to a podcast 90% of my time more than music, more than anything. If I'm driving, I'm listening to a podcast. Like, I just love that, especially, you know, I think in the last year, a lot of people have really thrived off of it because, you know, a lot of people have been inside their homes and they're like, I need some kind of human something. And this kind of makes you feel like you're with somebody and you're kind of like listening in or, you know, and I think it's been really beneficial to a lot of people.
Well, I can't wait to just totally binge all of the episodes that are dropping. And it's going to be so fun to be able to, you know, see that dynamic with your sister who also models.
She is. Yeah. She's a plus size model as well. She's in LA and she's an influencer, now a podcaster. So she's a little bit of everything as well. She's kind of like, you know, a Jane of all trades and does a little bit of everything. And it is cool. I mean, we've always dreamt of doing something together and it was kind of like, what's it going to be? And this was like the perfect, perfect, you know, venture for us.
Perfect venture. And, you know, it gives you guys an excuse to have those really long phone conversations that neither of your partners can say anything about because you can just use the excuse that you're podcasting.
Exactly. And like, it's work.
Now, speaking a little bit about modeling and rewinding a little bit, you know, you and your sister both came from a family of actors, models, entertainment professionals. What was it like for you growing up knowing that you wanted to model and, you know, kind of facing some of those challenges along the way?
My mom was a model. My dad is still currently an actor. So I was kind of like, you know, growing up and going on set and like meeting celebrities and going to photo shoot, that wasn't like abnormal to me. I was like, wait, your mom doesn't do it too? You know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, wait, what?
My mom does not do it.
Yeah. You know, and so it was kind of like, I never knew of wanting to be anything else, or it was just like, that's duh. This is what I want to do. Mom and dad do it. And so I did some modeling when I was really young, stopped a little bit in my preteen years, and then really got back into it when I was about 16 years old. And I got into straight size modeling. And for those who don't know, straight size is basically what the term that is used in the industry for, you know, the typical model that you see now, which is like a very, you know, a thin woman. So I was, 16. I was like a size 2. I'm 6 feet tall, you know, and I thought, all right, let's give it a go. But every agency I went into, they were like, you have to lose weight. You have to lose weight. You have to lose weight. And I was like, I don't even know. I literally am down to my bone on my hip. I don't know how much more I can lose. But, you know, I tried. I ate in a calorie deficit. I would work out hours a day, anything to try to fit these measurements. And so I did that for, you know, a couple years, and I, you know, would continue going into agencies, continue getting rejected. And finally I booked a job, and I walked in on the job. It was a t-shirt company. And they looked at me when I walked in, and immediately I thought, something's weird. Something's off. They were all looking at me, kind of talking to each other. I was with my mom, and they came up and they said, you know what? We didn't realize how big you were. I was like, what? So they sent me home. I didn't even get a chance to try on anything, if anything was going to fit, nothing. And from that point on, I was like, okay, if this is what it's going to be, this is what modeling is, I'm hanging up. Like, I don't want to, I just can't do it. It was such a toll on my, you know, mental health, my physical health, everything. So I ended up taking a couple years off, few years off, and really having to find myself again, and really having to like reinvent who I was, because I was so wrapped up in this dream and like the way that I thought I should look. And, you know, and I took time. I grew into myself physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And then at 19, I became a plus size model. I learned about it, and I was like, oh, now this is something that's right up my alley. And it was really off to the races.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously the rest is history. We could go over the cliff notes of your career. You know, it's been a decade essentially of plus size modeling mm-hmm. now for you, but yeah. I couldn't imagine showing up to a gig that you've booked and them calling you fat at a size like 2.
2.
Right. Yeah, like that's
6 feet tall.
That is insane.
Yeah. You know what? It was like, when that happened, it was like, that was like the norm. Like any of my friends who were in the business as well, they were like, yeah, I mean, that's just what it is. And I was like, what? I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, you know, I was like, I can't do anymore. I can't lose anymore. It's unreasonable to ask that. And, you know, I just thought, if this is the kind of modeling that it is, I just can't do it. You know, luckily things have changed now. We still have a long way to go, but they've changed, you know?
So when was that shift? You know, when you were 19, your body was, you know, developed past puberty by this point. Like when was that shift that you said, you know what, let's try this again and let's try it my way?
I had to go through therapy. I had to really work on myself, because the way that I thought about myself was horrid. Horrid. I mean, I believed I was fat. I believed that my body was wrong, because I had everybody telling me that, not in my family, but in the, you know, modeling world. And so I believed that, you know, you're a sponge at 16. You believe these things, you take in what everyone's saying about you. So I had to really work on myself and find myself. And it took a few years. You know, I think a lot of people think like, oh, confidence happens overnight. I'm like, confidence is a lifelong journey. It is up and down and up and down, and it is climbing mountains and weathering storms. And, you know, yeah, I've been, you know, I'm a confident person, but I still have days where I wake up and I'm absolutely not confident, you know? And so the shift was really when I was at peace with who I was, you know, and at peace with my body. And I could kind of like regroup and say, okay, let's give this thing a go. Because if I can still fulfill my dream while loving my body and being comfortable where I'm at, then that's a win-win.
And I think the realization too, for a lot of us who grew up in that diet culture centric world, is that there's nothing wrong with being fat or plus size.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's such a mind shift, right?
It is. It's like we put so much emphasis on this word fat, right? Like, and it's like, you know, people are always like, oh my God, this makes me look fat. Like as if that is like an awful thing. And I think it is. It's like, we've put this word in this really negative, awful space. And the truth of the matter is it's like, it's a scientific, like fat is like a scientific thing. We Everybody has it. Fat in their body. Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, and so it is. It's like you have to really take back that narrative and say, it's okay to be these things. It's okay to be, you know, fat. It's okay to be plus size. It's okay to be, you know, X, Y, Z, and really take that control back.
And I think it's amazing that obviously you got to a point where you said, you know what, screw this. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to model and I'm going to do it under my terms. But what was it like for you? You know, you kind of blew up overnight with the Sports Illustrated. I remember that coming out and I remember mm-hmm. sending it to all my girlfriends, right? I remember being like, there's a girl who looks like me. You know, on right. social media, on a publication, like on the cover of a magazine, right? That was sexy, right? Like, you know, it's right. obviously sexy photos of you. But, you know, like the setting isn't, you know, somebody who exists in a larger body with modest clothing buttoned up, but like, you know, you're looking right. fly in a swimsuit, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
like that was such a pivotal moment, I think, for so many curvy girls. But what was that like for you?
It was, you know, I went into it not knowing really what it was going to bring. Like, I was like, yeah, it's going to be like amazing and it's going to make a splash, but I didn't really know. What I did know was I went into the photo shoot thinking, okay, this is so much bigger than me. Like, yes, I'm going to get great photos out of it. That's awesome. But more importantly, I am going to have people who are going to open this magazine and go, oh my gosh, someone whose body looks like me. That's amazing. I mean, at the time I was a size 16, like a full 16. Now I'm a size 20, but you know, it's, and I've still shot even as a size 20, you know, last year. And so for me, it was, okay, how can we make this a powerful statement? How can we continue this conversation? Because the year prior, Ashley Graham was on the cover, which was huge, really catalyst to her career. And then I was in the next issue, and it was a really surreal moment, kind of almost like you said, overnight. I was flying back on a plane from Brazil. There was none of the magazines in the airport in Brazil, because it's really like an American magazine. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I'll have to wait till I land at JFK or wherever I was going to check it out. But I remember my phone Google alerts going crazy. I mean, I was in a time zone ahead and everybody was just waking up and seeing it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is insane. And then the next, I mean, it's been 5 years and, you know, it's only gotten better. They've really given me such a huge platform, Sports Illustrated, and they've really allowed me to do what I want with it, you know, and they're here to really say, like, we're here championing you and behind you. And they were the one of the first to make this kind of wave.
Yeah. And I mean, even this year's issue recently came out and they've got, you know, a whole spectrum of people, right? Like they have people, you know, you can find something about yourself in at least one of the models from this year, which is mind blowing, right? That it's 2021 and it's only happening now.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. I mean, we have, you know, Yumi, who is the first plus size Asian model in the magazine. We have Lena Bloom, who is, you know, the first Black Asian transgender model. You know, we have, I mean, there's so much. They just announced the final 15 and there's, you know, there's a boy in there. I forget his name. We'll have to mention it. Who's just amazing and like so glamorous. And he's like, oh my God, he's everything and more. And it's like, these are the kind of magazines I want my children to grow up and see on magazine stands.
Absolutely. You know? And I, you know, obviously your Google alerts were blowing up at this time and things, you know, it's easy to look back on things with not rose colored glasses, but obviously now in 2021, we're a bit more used to seeing, again, like, you know, just different folks on magazines and stuff like that. But, you know, back at the time, I know there was, and I know you've spoken about this a little bit, but you had a lot of people stoked on this and were super excited, but you also had a lot of backlash.
Oh yeah. I still have a lot of backlash. Anything I do, comes with a lot of backlash. There's always going to be those people that don't quite understand, because it's this really archaic mindset of like, you know, they're still stuck in, why aren't you thin? You know, why wouldn't you want to? You know, I get you're obese, you're a whale, you're going to die, you're unhealthy, you're promoting, you know, unhealthiness and X, Y, Z. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. The thing is it's like that to me is all I need to know that we are nowhere near where we need to be and to keep going. You know, it almost fuels me because I'm like, okay, cool. So you're giving me confirmation that like, we still got a long ways to go, which is fine. Great. Yeah, exactly. You know, and I now I'm at a point where I can brush it off and I'm like, all right, don't be silly. Like my favorite response is don't be silly. Because I'm being silly. I'm like, oh my God. Says,
don't be silly. That is the tagline.
Yeah, you're being silly goose. Don't. Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm just like, it's, you know, like you said, it's 2021 and anything less than being inclusive is just unacceptable.
Get ready for the BODCON Moves, Joyful Movement, coming to you live on Sunday, April 25th at 11 a.m. Eastern. The BODCON Moves series is all about bringing people together in celebration of our bodies and what they're capable of. Movement has the power to alleviate symptoms of anxiety and ignite our mental function. When we move together, our mood is boosted and we feel connected to the greater community around us. Join BODCON alumni Brooke Van Rysel as she leads us through a 40-minute joyful movement class for people of all fitness levels and abilities. All bodies are welcome. Stick around following our movement session where you'll be invited to participate in a 20-minute networking session to connect with others from the BODCON community. Best of all, this one's on us. It's free. Head to our website, www.thebodcon.com, to sign up and get ready to get your joyful movement on. The interesting thing about, you know, obviously your modeling career and having been all these different sizes is you've been able to see firsthand, you know, just how necessary it is for there to be this representation, but also for there to be clothing. One of your most exciting projects that is ongoing is your QVC fashion line, All Worthy.
Yes. Oh my gosh. This is like, All Worthy has been a dream come true. You know, throughout my career, I always got asked, what's next? And I was like, an inclusive clothing line. And for me, it was like, I can't sit here and talk about inclusivity and then not offer inclusive clothing. You know, and I'm talking about like from small sizes to larger sizes. I mean, our sizes are 0 to 36. Extra small to 5X. We have three lengths. We have petite, regular, and tall in all of our pants, all of our jumpsuits, cardigans, things like that. You know, so it's inclusive in both size and height. And QVC has been a dream partner, you know, with that. They, you know, I went to them after going to a few other people who wanted to partner with me. And those people all said, you know, we can give you up to this size, but we can't give you up to the size you want. And I just said, you know what? I don't care how much money it is. I don't care how, you know, whatever. I said, no, I have to stand my ground. And then when I met with QVC, they were offering me, I was the first to bring 5X size 36 to QVC. And it has been amazing. And they've been a dream partner. And I think for me, it's, you know, fashion shouldn't have a size. Just like, you know, there's like, age shouldn't be exclusive with fashion either. I mean, my mom is 61 years old. She's the most fashionable person I know in my entire life. My love of fashion comes from her, you know, and I wanted to bring beautiful pieces for everybody.
And it's so, I mean, I live in Canada, so unfortunately I have not been able to get my hands on all of your pieces because I've 100% stocked the website and filled up multiple shopping carts. So the next time I'm back in New York, I'm just going to pull the trigger on that order. But, yeah. You know, again, you've experienced being at different sizes and it's hard to, you know, call yourself an advocate if you're not going to, you know, walk the walk and talk the talk kind of thing. And I think it's amazing that, like you said, it's like you've really made it the goal to include everyone and make everyone all worthy.
Yeah, totally. And that's the whole mission behind it. You know, I hated the feeling of talking to my girlfriends who were a size, you know, 2, 4, 6, and being like, oh my God, I love your dress. Where is it from? Only to find they don't even carry my size. You know, the largest sizes is like a large or extra large. So it's nice to be able to, you know, bring this wide range.
And that is probably the worst feeling in the world, especially, you know, as we get older, I think a lot of us do become a bit more body neutral or hopefully, you know, body confident. But I remember that happening in high school where, you know, you'd go over to one of your girlfriend's house and it was the worst feeling in the world when you couldn't participate in clothing swaps or, you know, if you really liked a piece, like you said, it not being available in your sizes. And, you know, I even remember prom dress shopping, right? And that being a lot more stressful existing in a larger body, right? And more fashion, you know, I think needs to move in that direction.
There's no reason not to, you know, the demand is there and now it's just, we need the supply, you know, and also give us a chance to shop it. Give us a chance to know that it exists in your store before you pull it, you know?
And I think that's been, you know, a huge thing, right? Like the demand is there. Mm-hmm. The average size in the US is a size 14 for women, right? Like the demand is 15, there.
Yeah. It's insane. I hope that, you know, we see fashion evolve past what we're seeing currently. You know, it's not enough. I still don't have the opportunity to shop in store at places. Like, I live in a fashion mecca of the world, but, you know, New York City, I'm right outside of it. And it's like, I don't have the luxury to go to Soho or Fifth Avenue and walk into a shop and walk out with bags of clothes. It just is not offered to me. And that's saying a lot. You know, like you just said, 70% of, you know, Americans are a size 16 or above. And so you're really alienating a lot of people who have the money to spend and want to buy clothes and deserve clothes. You know, it's not, we shouldn't have to change ourselves to fit fashion. Fashion should change itself to fit us.
So what was your experience like, you know, just on that note, walking the runways of New York Fashion Week, knowing that, you know, the majority of these brands didn't offer sizes that would fit, you know, anyone over, you know, a size 12, maybe.
So I have not ever walked in a show that didn't actually sell plus sizes. And I, 2 years ago, I took a stand and I stopped going to shows that don't offer larger sizes or putting plus size models on their runway. Because I was just tired of it. I was tired of going to shows and being like, oh my God, that dress, I just walked down, I want it. Only to, you know, find out that the designer doesn't even, you know, make above a size 10. Or if the designer did make plus sizes, they didn't put plus models on their runway. And I just said, you know what, I'm going to stop supporting this. And, you know, the thing is you have to take a stand sometimes, right? Like, I remember getting, you know, a front row invite to one of my dream designers, like high end, amazing designer. And I turned it down because I was like, you know what? It's bigger than me wanting to just go and say I went and have this experience. Like, you have to take a stand and say, you know what? You're not supporting me, right? As a person, essentially. So why do you want me to have it, give it back to you?
Yeah. You don't value me. Why should I value you?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And especially for, you know, companies, like you said, where as people who exist in bodies that aren't, you know, under a size 10 or something, like you might be able to go buy a handbag or a hat. Like that's not accessible.
Lucky. Yeah. Right. But you'll see oversized fitting clothes, you know, that's really popular right now is like the boyfriend fit or, you know, the oversized shirt. And it's like, so you have fabric for that, but you don't have fabric to make plus size clothes. It doesn't add up.
Yeah. The math doesn't add up. I'm no mathematician, but I can.
The math ain't nothing.
Neither of us are mathematicians. So you can check our numbers, but it doesn't add up.
Yeah.
Now, what's your experience been? You know, obviously you go to a number of events pre-pandemic, of course, but what has it been like finding designers to dress you? Has this been something that's you haven't had any issues with, or has it been something that, you know, you've struggled with preparing for, you know, red carpets or interviews and that kind of stuff? Yeah.
Every time I have an event, it is the most stressful thing ever. The weeks leading up to it is, all I'm thinking about is, what am I going to wear? Am I going to have to pull something from a fast fashion website? You know, I will say Christian Siriano has dressed me a few times, and he's so lovely, and he's been so inclusive and so awesome. But, you know, it's like, okay, honestly, I can't say many other people, you know? And how crazy is that? You know, there needs to be more than one. There needs to be, we should be able to have the same exact offerings as everybody else. We should be able to walk into a showroom and be able to pick anything we want. You know, it's the same thing when I walk on set, right? Like the smaller size models, their racks are full of gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous clothes. Mine is full of like three things, and if it doesn't fit, we'll just make you naked. And that's why like half my portfolio is naked, because it's like, oh, we don't really have the stuff to fit her. I guess we'll just take her out of it and we'll do something tasteful. Like, you know, and that's the reality, you know. So I think, you know, as much as we have come so far, we really do have a long way to go. We really do.
I think it's so crazy that designers wouldn't be jumping at the chance to dress somebody like you, or, you know, people going to the Oscars. You hear about celebrities who are going to the Met Gala or the Oscars and they can't find a designer to dress them. Like, I feel like if I was a fashion designer, I would just be stoked that somebody wanted to wear my creations to such an event.
Right. I know. It's insane. You know, there's a designer, she's amazing. Her line is called Z by Zavara, and I've worn her quite a few times at events, and it's a black owned business. She has made beautiful, beautiful things since the beginning. And I remember modeling for her and telling her, when I make it big one day, like, I want you to do everything for me. And so I've worn a few of her pieces that made me feel really beautiful. The other thing is like finding pieces that aren't just like bags, right? Like, people just automatically assume that if you're plus size, if you're larger, if you're a fat woman, that you don't want to show your body, or you're not proud of your body and you want to cover it up. And that's furthest from the truth. Like, I personally am like, oh my God, the tighter, the better. Great. You know? So, you know, it's, we really have to still work on this mind shift, you know, of the way that we've known society, you know, for so long.
I totally agree. And, you know, if celebrities can't even get designers to make clothing for them for red carpets, how are, you know, people who don't exist in entertainment industries or, you know, other industries, like, how are they supposed to find clothing that makes them feel good right. and confident for formal occasions? And, you know, I know you got married a couple of years ago and you appeared on, you know, you were the first curve model to appear on a bridal magazine, right? Like, that's insane. That was only a couple of years ago.
Yeah. The cover of The Knot. It was huge. You know, it was, again, even going through my wedding, like, I had to get my dresses made for me because what I wanted wasn't available. You know, I literally had this vision in my head and I went to look and I was like, okay, so it doesn't exist for me. Nothing even close to it exists for me. So it's either like you get what you get and you don't throw a fit, or you move on. And so I had, you know, the team at Waters Bridal make me two dresses. And actually they sell my reception dress. It's called the Hunter dress, which you can buy at Waters. It's kind of like an ode to Meghan Markle's Stella McCartney or her like reception dress. And, you know, I was always told, I was, you know, everyone said, when you're plus size, don't wear anything tight, don't wear anything revealing, don't wear high neck. I'm like, well, my first dress is tight and revealing. My second dress is a high neck. So there's that. What are you going to do?
Well, it's true. I feel like the picture that we were sold, you know, you and I are similar ages. And I feel like the picture that we saw growing up of quote unquote plus size models were in things like the Sears catalog, wearing the like boat neck, long sleeve, like just like the classic terrible Sears, like turtlenecks
with,
and
like
stuff
a terrible
like that.
Print.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's like, you know, it's always like, even now, like there's some like brands that still do like, they'll do like, you know, a peplum and it'll be like, this is the most flattering, like it'll hide your stomach. And I'm like, oh my God, if I have to see one more, like I'm just like, I can't do another bad print. I can't do another like, you know, animal print where it's everywhere and you're just like overwhelmed with it. Like, you know, and it's like an awful cut. And you're just like, so it's bad and it has a bad print. Like, I just can't.
I feel like your options for so long were either like you said, you're fully covered and it's just this like almost like traditional religious garments. Like you're yes. literally covered. Like your body is not yes. shown at all. Or they're like, well, you are a sassy large woman who needs to yes. wear cheetah prints with rhinestones
yes.
and
yes.
with a necklace that's sewn onto it.
Yes, it's always like that. And listen, I love a cheetah print. I'm wearing yeah, a cheetah
hey,
print.
But I love an animal like, print.
But it's not the same when you're like, okay, it is like, you know, a V, like a V-neck, but not in like a sexy way. It's like, you know, a cap sleeve. You're just like, oh my gosh, this is so ill-fitting. I can't. And it's like, you know, for the longest time, like I just did a purge on my closet and I had the hardest time getting rid of stuff because I was like, oh my God, but like that fits me.
You want me
like,
to send you my shipping address or?
I know, everyone was like, I know, oh my God.
Everybody
God,
listening to so this much. Is going to be like, so where exactly can I get these purged clothes?
Yeah. I know, we give it to a local organization, but I should one day do like a something with them. But you know, it was hard for me. I was like not getting rid of stuff because it fit me, not because I liked it, not because it was pretty, not because I wanted to wear it, but it fit me. And that was like the mindset I've had for so long, was like, if it fits, get it, because I don't know when anything else like this is going to come about.
I remember shopping as, you know, I was a husky child. And yeah. I remember, you know, developing early and being in that kind of like 11, 12 section. And I think it's, you know, I think things have again gotten better, but you know, this wasn't that long ago. I'm not that old. And I remember being 11 or 12 years old and my mom having to take me to shop in the women's section. And you know, she had no idea. My mom's a straight-sized woman. And again, I was husky. And so, you know, she would take me to the women's section and it was like, my friends were all wearing these like cute outfits from like Justice and like, you know, yeah. in Canada, we had this company called La Senza Girl. For any Canadian listeners yeah. listening, I desperately wanted to wear La Senza Girl, could not. And, you know, I have this memory of like,
you're wearing Calvin Klein.
Yeah. Oh my God, I wish I was wearing Calvin Klein. It was like,
yeah, like
the
nine,
Sears.
Like a nine. Yeah.
It was the Sears like turtlenecks and stuff. And like, just remember being mortified and my mom being like, well, we should probably get this in a couple colors. Like, I think that's as like plus size or mid size individuals. I think that's, it's so fucked up. But, you know, yeah. you find something that fits you. You're like, I need to buy this in every single color it comes in because I might not be able to find it.
It's never gonna come out. Yeah. It's mortifying.
Yeah, especially when you're 12 or 13 and you're like in denial about getting boobs and you're just like, I just want to wear La Senza Girl.
Yeah, right. Everyone's wearing like cute like conversation tees with like, you know, Lizzie McGuire on it. You're wearing like a boat net. Yeah. You know, ready to go yachting with your friends.
I'm just out for the regatta while all my friends are wearing shirts that say like, too hot to be your girlfriend. I'm like, I didn't want to be too hot to be your girlfriend. I just didn't want to look like
there's no option.
I just wanted something exactly. other than a sassy leopard print top.
I know.
Well, that's trauma for me to work through. I should probably continue the therapy on that one. But Hunter, thank you so much for, you know, coming on the BOD Pod today, chatting about everything. It's always a pleasure chatting with you. To close off, I would love to ask you the same question that we ask all of our BOD Pod guests, and that is, what can your body do?
Well, recently it can make a baby, which is pretty dang incredible, you know, and it can get me through hard times. It can keep me grounded. It has allowed me to travel the world and see some incredible things. Gets me up every day. I mean, the list goes on. What can it not do, right?
Can you let our listeners know how they can best connect with you and where they can check out all of your amazing projects?
Yeah, so my Instagram and Twitter and Facebook handles are all at Hunter McGrady. And you can check out my clothing line at QVC.com. The brand is All Worthy. And then the podcast with my sister, which is out April 15th. I'm not sure if this will air before or after, but it is at the Model Citizen Podcast.
Amazing. Well, I can't wait to listen to the Model Citizen. And like I said, as soon as I fly back to New York, I'm getting my hands on everything All Worthy has. But thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks for joining us today on the Bod Pod. Want to talk all things body in between episodes? Follow us on Instagram at TheBodCon for news, events, giveaways, and all kinds of amazing body love content. My name's Brianna Morgan. We'll see you next week.